All right, we are going to start our third session called Scripture Alone. The first one was what?
Grace alone.
And basically, simply, it's all about God. Nothing that we could do. God made it possible that we might have a relationship with Him. As a holy God, He made it possible. So grace alone. Then we studied
faith
alone. It's not enough to just know about it. I must what?
Do it.
Believe,
accept it, and it's our faith. Faith alone. Now, to move on in the Christian life, we must use what as a guidance? What's our guide?
Bible.
Okay, how many remember Sunday school? You go to Sunday school when you were little?
Oh, yeah.
Like remember the song? The B-I-B-L-E.
Oh, that's
the book for me.
I stand
alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E.
Thank you.
That was a very simple thing, but that's still true today. Where do you get your instruction for Christian living?
The Bible. But you have to read it.
Good. Very good.
That is
so number one, the resource is the Bible. And then we're going to, today, the object is to figure out a little more in depth why the Bible. And then I like that other part. It's not good enough just to have one. You must do what?
Read it.
If you want instruction for daily living, you need to be in the Word of God. You need to be in the Bible. There's a lot of good books that will tell you how to manage things, how to have positive thinking in your life, how to solve problems, perhaps. Give some interesting reading, but the Bible is where you should be on how long? How many times should I open my Bible?
Every day. No limit.
How many of you eat?
Every day.
Anybody in here eat?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And most of us eat how many times a day?
Three.
At least three, right? So I'm going to ask you a question. Looking at yesterday, because I don't want to go too far so you don't forget or you can't remember. But I want you to look back yesterday. And I'm going to ask you a good question, and I want you to honestly answer to yourself. Did I feed on the Word of God yesterday? Did I open the Word of God yesterday? I had breakfast, I may have lunch, and I had dinner, and some of you even had some dessert. But if we are going to grow in Christ and grow in our faith and know how to live day to day, this is your instruction manual. And you need to be in the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you, even as a pastor, for over many years, all the time when I get in here, there's more new stuff. Now, I can read a book or have an audio book on my phone and go through it, and I can pretty much know what that book's going to tell me if I went through and read it again. And I don't really get a lot of new out of it. But here, there's something new all the time. And our conversation, a lot of times, would be great if it was just coming about the book. Carol, what'd you get this week out of the Word of God? What was exciting to you? I'm going to tell you something that came to me this week, okay? I was doing a little study, and then there's the, I think it's W-Y-H-W, and there's no vowel in it for the Word of God, for the name of God. And the way it's pronounced is
Yahweh.
You're breathing in
Yahweh.
And breathe out You're given the name of God. And then I thought, isn't it neat? When we come into life, we got to breathe, don't we? If they don't, they smack your bottom, is what they used to show you, right? And you breathe, you ask for air. And when you die, a lot of times there's the last gasp. And I thought, you know, isn't that interesting that no matter what nationality or whatever you are, but if you're a human being, you're naming God when you come to life and when you pass on. And even if you're an atheist, you have to say God's name. I thought, isn't God something else? It's those little things that you get when you're reading and you study yourself that you find that you hold on to. I remember in all the Gospels, the name on the cross when it gave, you know, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now, in the Gospel of John, it's the only one that writes about of Nazareth. And a Nazarene was what? Despised. So now that sign had a different meaning for me. Jesus, the despised one. The King of the Jews. And sure enough, as we go through, we find the religious leaders and the people of the time despised Jesus. They all went when they got hungry to follow him, or if they got healed, but later on they found out that many turned away because they couldn't follow the teaching of Christ. Folks, I don't know how to get it any closer. You have to be in the Word of God. And you have to discipline yourself. Have you ever been sick and you couldn't eat? Yeah, I had that happen this week. 3.5 days, couldn't eat.
Oh.
My mom called me, are you going to have some chicken soup? I could get the chicken soup, and I said I had the can on the counter, but I was too weak to open the can.
That's supposed to be what? Chicken soup is a healer, right?
Yes, it is. And if you do studies and you look at medical journals and things, we find out that it helps in respiration. I didn't know that, but I did a little study on that too, as I was sick, to go out, why is chicken soup? You know, I kind of wanted to know that as you go through. But I want you to know, the one thing I try to get through every Sunday is that our holy God wants a personal relationship with you. It's a personal thing. And the communication with that has got to be, you have to be in the Word of God. Not just on Sunday. I'm glad you're there. But you need to be there on a daily thing on feeding. In relationships with people, you kind of have to talk a little bit, right? Share a little bit. And so I want to look at a little more. I want somebody to look up 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, New Testament, 2 Timothy 3:16. This, out of everything else in your Christian life, is the place to be. Though there may be other good books, there may be other good writings, Scripture alone is how you will grow. That little song, the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me.
What was that again?
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And we're going to read it slow.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Okay, let's stop there first of all. All right, so what did we say?
Yeah.
All Scripture is what?
Given
by the inspiration of God. Now, you're going to have people you're going to come in contact with, and they will tell you that this book has got a bunch of errors in it. But the Bible tells you that all Scripture was what? Inspired by God Himself, meaning God breathed. Whatever's in here is in here because God has passed it on, that we might have this instruction. And so it's all from God. Now, how much of the Bible do you believe?
All of it.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. But not everybody does.
I might not understand it all, but...
Okay. Well, that's one thing. Okay. We won't... And I don't think we'll ever get to the point where we understand it all until we're in heaven. Okay? That's what's neat about this book. There's something new for us every time that we dig into it. You know, taste the Word of God and you see that it's good. You like a good steak dinner? Then feed upon the Word. But it said in the Bible, later on as we're teaching, we find out, Paul says, you know, we write these things and you're still on the what? On the milk. You can't eat it. You can't eat the meat. You choke on it. Because you're not in it. You've not been chewing on it. You've not been tasting and ready for more. As we go on, you haven't got your spiritual energy up or you're ready for the meat part. All Scripture. And that means what? Old Testament and New Testament. A lot of times in the Old Testament, there are what we call types of Christ. There's pictures of Christ to come. All right, go on with it. All Scripture is inspired by...
given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Okay, if you don't know that verse or have it highlighted, highlight it. Now, so first of all, it says it is what? Profitable. It has value. You want value in your Christian life? You want to know what God has in for you? Is going to profit you to be in this book. Even Revelation starts out and it says, if you just read the book of Revelation, you may not understand it, but you will receive a blessing. If you read it, if you hear it, one of the books where it says you're going to get a blessing. And you may not fully understand it. Because there's a lot of stuff in there. But here, if you want something to pick up, and you say, I want a book where I'm going to get something out of it, where it's going to do something for me, guess what it is? It's the Bible. Used to be commonplace when you went to somebody's home, you went and you saw on the coffee table, you would see a Bible. Sometimes it was a family Bible, had little jewels on it and little names in it and everything. Are you aware today that there's a lot of people that don't have a Bible? We had a young man come a couple of Sundays ago, and he is trying to find a purpose in life and find guidance and direction. Where should we send him? To the Bible. But guess what?
He didn't have a Bible.
Now, we already did ministry, and we provided him a Bible before he left. So now he has the Word of God in his hand, and it'll be up to him to open it up. Everybody here have a Bible?
Several?
Okay. So you can open up different ones, different days then if you want to, right?
I used to like the Phillips Bible that told it in like a storybook. Mm-hmm. And it was so easy to understand.
That's good. And see, there are different, in versions. There's study Bibles. I have one here by John Maxwell. This one is a different one I have. This one's a leadership Bible, so when I was doing stuff with staff or whatever, it helped you as you're managing people, but also applying the Bible to it to give study, so that was a good one. We know the King James, and some people think that came straight from heaven, right? And then you got the New King James to make it a little easier instead of the these and the thous. We have Living Word to make it a little easier in today's language as we go through to help us through the process. But the object is that the Bible is an inspired Word of God and you need to be in it. You need to be studying the Word of God. It's profitable. And now it says for doctrine. What is doctrine?
What?
Doctrine.
Doctrine. doctrine. I'm not hearing.
Okay.
Teaching.
Pardon?
Teaching.
All right, it's teaching, but what is it teaching? It's teaching our fundamentals. Doctrine is a fundamental ideas that come from the Bible. One God. Believe that?
Yes.
Believe Jesus was the Son of God?
Yes.
You believe Jesus was born from virgin birth?
Yes.
You believe that there's only one way to get to heaven?
Yes.
Do you believe that you're a sinner?
Yes.
Do you believe that you're saved by grace?
Yes.
These fundamental things are called doctrine. And no matter as you travel, wherever you visit a church, there are doctrinal issues that we should all agree upon. And there should be no swaying from those things. I'm a sinner saved by grace. That doesn't change to whatever denomination or wherever you visit. It's a reality. Jesus was born of virgin birth. That doesn't change based on a denomination or anything else as you go through. Those are called doctrinal issues. And though sometimes when we teach them, they seem kind of boring. They seem kind of dry. But we must remember them and hold on to them. And those things will tell you what others believe as you're going through. Do we agree doctrinally in the Word of God? And do we believe in those fundamental things? It mentioned it was good for reproof. What's reproof?
I'm frowning.
You're frowning? Okay. Is that part of reproof?
No.
We have any proofreaders here? Anybody ever have a document and then they have to go through it and make sure that it's saying the right thing as it goes through?
I proofread when I taught to make sure that the notes I sent home, people would understand.
Okay.
Because there's a big difference.
Okay. So the reproof was, it's a process of checking out, how am I living? How am I doing? What do you do if you don't have the Bible? How are you measuring up your life today? How do you know how to live day to day, and it's the right thing or the wrong thing? How do you know? If you're not in the Word of God, what are the standards we're using? Are we using society?
No.
Oh, man, we're in sad shape if we are. Are we using social media?
No.
Good. What is it that we're using to check and see that we're living correctly? We using our neighbor?
No.
Using our family? We're using our political leaders? Oh, I'm glad you checked that one out, right? Scripture.
Hopefully we're using you.
Well, no, you shouldn't be using me either. You should be checking me out according to the Word of God. Anytime anybody's preaching from the pulpit, you shouldn't just take the Word. That's why I say sometimes go at least open up your bulletin, because we print out the gospel there, the Word of God there. You're supposed to be looking to make sure they're telling you the right thing. I will tell you right now, there are pastors out that will talk from a pulpit and it will not agree with the Scripture. And they're accountable for that. But guess what? So are you. Don't take people's word for it. Take the Word for it. Sometimes there's opinion, and I try to mention if I'm preaching and I see something, if I can't tell you that it's a fact, it's an opinion based on either other studies of theologians, my own, whatever it might be. These are thoughts. But if you're going to know how to live and how to deal with other people, and what should you be giving priority in your life, your resources, what? The Word of God. Scripture alone. So it's good for doctrine, the fundamentals. It's good to check and see, how am I living? What do I need to do? Then it says it's good for what? Correction. Correction is what?
Way to go.
You ever had children you had to correct? Well, what is it? Correction is what?
Discipline.
Pardon?
Discipline.
Discipline. Okay. Could be discipline. It could be redirecting to a better way. It could be repentance. Now, James tells us, if I know it's a sin, it's a sin. But if I'm not in the Word of God, how am I supposed to know if it's a sin or not? Do I know?
No.
And see, we're very judgmental people. You know, when people begin and they say that they're accepting the Lord as their Savior, a lot of times what we start to do is to see if they're growing or they're mature or whatever, and then we start looking at what they should do and what they shouldn't do. But if they don't know, then how are they supposed to know? Through the what?
Read the Bible.
The Word of God. You had children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. You have the responsibility to directing them to the Word of God for their instruction, for their teaching, to know that they're on the right path. And they do that through the Word of God. So it's there for turning away from the world's way to live and turning to what? God's way. And there's a big conflict, isn't there? Have you seen it? There's a conflict between the spiritual side and the earthly side, the worldly side, isn't there?
Yes.
And even in our own nation, you know, it says it was formed under God. And a lot of times now what we want to do is we want to leave God out. But how can I get instruction? I need to be in the Word of God. And that's the next thing, instruction, daily living. What should I be doing? And a lot of times we say a good idea, if you want wisdom, to be in the Proverbs. Proverbs will tell you different things in regards to expounding upon God's wisdom. What should I do in regards to finances? What should I do in regards to how I treat my neighbor? Is this the right thing to do, the wrong thing to do? Where is it? It seems to be a gray world. How do I get light on this? You understand?
There's a why to that, too, and why am I doing it?
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah, why? You know, and the Holy Spirit tries to keep pulling us towards the Word of God, and we keep pulling away. Because it's not normal nature to be in the Word of God. It is the spiritual side of you that wants that and to draw there and hunger. Do you ever hunger for the Word of God?
Yes.
And then it says what? To equip me. You know, I used to have 5 core values in business, and we would go through those in leadership. And the last one that I had was simple. Do what's right. Do what's right. If you know it's the right thing to do, do it. If it costs us more, I'll worry about that later. But you did the right thing. Do what's right. How should I treat somebody? Treat them what? With love and kindness and gentleness. You know that, right? So do what's right. When you talk with someone, should you lie? You better be careful, too, when you're honestly brutal with honesty, too.
Old people should never lie because you have to have good memory.
You have to have good memory. It equips us to do what the right thing is. This is the standard. This is what you go by for daily living. These are the standards and the attributes that you need to be possessing in your life as a believer. And that's why I say it doesn't take us too long to evaluate where we're at. We can just look one day, 24 hours. And did we spend any time in the Word of God? And if we didn't, then it's easy not to do it the next day too. And then it's easy not to do it the next day too. You'll get an excuse this week, because you could say this week, at least on Thursday, you were what? In the Word of God. Okay? But I want you to get to the point in this relationship with God, there needs to be a communication, and you need to be feeding upon the Word of God for daily living, for daily feeding. And we wonder, if you don't eat, what happens? You get weak. I mean, 3.5 days I didn't eat, when it didn't hurt me really much. But I could tell that going from one end of the belt, you know, one of the end of my condo to the other side, I was weak and had to sit down because I didn't have the energy to keep going. And sometimes we wonder in our spiritual life, why am I struggling the way I struggle? Why are these things happening the way they're happening? If we're not feeding upon the Word of God, can you see where you can end up spiritually weak? And that's what we need to look at in regards. How much do you trust the Bible?
100%.
Okay. 100%. Okay. All right, let's look at some things about the Bible and why God wants us in the Word. Somebody, 1 John 4:8. 1 John 4:8. And somebody else can look up Luke chapter 6, 36.
Way in the back.
Okay. Yeah, 1 John 4:8 and Luke 6, 36. Somebody let me know when you get to either one of those verses. 1 John 4:8 and Luke 6:36. Somebody have one of them? Got your trigger finger there? Okay, look, give me Luke 6:36. We'll look at that one.
Therefore, be merciful just as your Father also is merciful.
Okay, so here's an instruction from the Word of God. It tells me I need to be what?
Merciful.
Merciful. What is mercy?
Forgiving.
Pardon? Kindness? Okay. What else goes with that? Do I deserve it?
No.
Ah, I don't
Not
deserve
always.
It. I don't deserve it, but I get it anyway. Now, if I need to understand that, the Bible's basically telling me to be merciful to other people. Why? Because God has been merciful to me. Right? You understood God's grace, right? Grace alone? That was by the mercy of God. Did we do anything to deserve it? We learned in the first week? No, we didn't do anything to deserve it. Now, for me to understand that, it gets to the point once I understand that, now can I be merciful to somebody else? Somebody hurt you. Said something or whatever. Can you be merciful to them? Do they deserve it? Oh, they don't deserve it. They really deserve something else, don't they? And in your own strength, in your own power, in your own flesh, you don't want to give it either. But when you understand what God has done for you, it allows you to be merciful to somebody else. And the way I start to understand more and more about God's mercy, how do I find out about it? In the scripture. That's how I learn. That's how I can now apply it. Anybody find 1 John 4:8? You got it, Joe?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Then Jesus said unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe.
Okay, and that's verse 8?
48. Oh.
No, just verse 8. Yeah, chapter 4, verse 8. That's okay. Anybody who's got it? You got it?
But if a person isn't loving and kind, it shows that he doesn't know God. For God is love.
Okay. So God is what?
Love.
God is love. We've, used that word and we've messed it up at pretty good. But to really understand love, we have to understand what? God's love for me. For God so loved the world that he did what?
Only gave his only begotten son.
He gave his very best. He gave his only begotten son.
Whosoever.
And I get, for whosoever believes in him has what?
Eternal life.
I want eternal life. I want to know what's good after this life. Eternal life with God. I have to understand the love of God. He loved me so much that he what? He died for me, and that took away my sin. And before a holy God, I now stand holy. Hebrews tells me I can boldly come before the throne of God because of what God has done for me. How can you love someone else if you've not experienced God's love? How? Joe can show Phyllis love not just because he's attracted to her and they've had a life together, but he can deeper because of what he understands God has done for him. He wants that kind of relationship also with his own wife. Why is this church the way it is? I had another testimony today just to let you know. So thank you for the testimony you have in Christ Jesus. There is an individual that's going through things, but they have a peace right now, the peace of God. But in a lot of ways, too, they have an outpouring of certain individuals that have partnered with them to help them through a time of difficulty. And that's the love of God. This church has the ability to show the love of God to each other. Have you experienced it?
It's very evident.
I've experienced it. Some of you, as soon as you came to visit, the first day, what is it? We've had people come and a Sunday or two, they're here and they're already looking that something's different about this body of people. They really mean it when they say they care. They really mean it when they want to make sure that you did eat something. They want to make sure that if you had a loss or whatever, that you're not alone. If somebody's there. You need help. They tell you call. I had a lady today. She said, "Well, why didn't you call me?" Well, I'm thinking I'm in Boca Raton. I'm not going to bother somebody in Boynton Beach. And you have to do anything, come all the way to Boca Raton. But it reminds me that sometimes in ministry, there's people willing, no matter where they're at, to show the love of God. And when they offer, it's a ministry they're providing, is the love of God and reaching out for each other. We are so blessed. But if you don't know God, how do you know really how to love? And that's what this scripture is. The more you read about it, you find out more how God loves you. You want the love chapter? John chapter 17. Sometime in your little devotion, if you want to feed upon that, feed on that. He's merciful. He's loving. He tells us the way of salvation. Acts 4:12. Anybody find it?
Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.
Okay. Why do we believe what we are? That this is the only way. Now, the world will tell you there's a lot of different ways, a lot of different gods, a lot of different paths. A lot of different materials that you can read or study and go. But when you are looking in regards to your eternal state in heaven, there is only one way. There's not multiple books in the library for you that you need to be studying. There's one book or group of books. And that's the Bible. Out of all the books that you have and for self-study or to get anything, this should be the number one book. Now, if you want to read other things, that's fine. But this should be your first. When you open a book during the week, this should be the first book you open. Every day. If you can, 3 days, 3 times a day, that's fine. But at least daily, you should be feeding upon the Word of God. And this is the book. It shouldn't just be on Sunday. It shouldn't just be on a Bible study. And if you got one or two of them, you can put them in different rooms. You put one in your bedroom, one in your living room. Or you can have it on your phone or an iPad or whatever it might be. But this is where you need to be. And we have a lot of help tools. I mean, there's the little, you know, booklets that come. You know, you can get them in the church, you know, and they have scripture and a thing that can go through. That's being in the Word of God, as long as there's scripture in there. But always check it out where someone else has written something. Did they interpret it right? Am I understanding it right? What else does God have for me? And there's a lot of different tools to help us in those processes. But this is the place to be. And it's only one. Not multiple. There's only one way. And that's through our salvation in Him. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I like this verse. You find it? Romans 12, 1 and 2.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
That's it in a nutshell, isn't it? That's this whole thing about the scripture, why it's so important. There's some scripture when Paul writes, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you be not what? Ignorant. In other words, you ought to know these things as a believer. But here I want you to know these things, brethren, by the mercy of God. Not anything you've done, but by God's grace, by what God has provided, I want you to present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice. I want you to give yourself to God. Not just that you accepted the work He's done for your salvation, for heaven, but I want you to give yourself daily, moment by moment, to me, to God, a living sacrifice. Give up what your selfish ambition is and give towards God. A living sacrifice. Something people can see. Something that has life. People want to be around you because how do you do that? How do you get through the day? Because of my trust and my faith in God. Why do you do what you do? Because I'm doing it not for me. I'm doing it for who? I'm doing it for God. I'm not looking for the benefit of it. It says what? Reasonable service. You say, well, wait a minute, God. What do you mean reasonable? Why should I have to do anything as a living sacrifice?
That's God calling. Hey.
He says, it's reasonable for me to ask you to do it. Why is it reasonable for God to ask you to do it?
Because of all He's done for us.
Exactly. It's simple as the process goes. Why not? What has He done for you? He gave His all. And you know what the hymn writer says, all to Jesus, I surrender. All to Him I owe. And that's why this Word of God is so important on a daily basis, is that we're reminded every day that God loves us so much, it's reasonable for us now in our life to love others. I can't do it unless I know how God loves me. But it's reasonable for me now to love others. It's reasonable for me to make sure that I'm doing the things that are good and honest and true is reasonable. God's not asking for you to do anything that's not reasonable. And He says, we learn that. He says, you know, I beseech you therefore as a living sacrifice. Now, holy and acceptable for God. How do I know how to do that? How do I remain holy and acceptable to God? It's reasonable to do it. How do I do it? Well, I have to know. Yeah, again, I have to be in the Word of God and know if I'm right on the right track. Right? James told us, if I know that I find out, and later on I'm reading the Scripture and I found out that I had anger in my heart, and I found out and understood what Scripture was telling me, that anger was a sin, now I need to get what? I have to deal something with my anger, don't I? Is that reasonable? Yes, it's reasonable. Is God angry with you?
No.
No, He said, I love you. Does he have a right to be angry with you?
Yes.
Sure he does. But he doesn't give us his wrath. He gives us his love. And so it's reasonable for you to understand and study the scripture, learn of God's love, and pass it on to others as you're going on. It's reasonable for you to do that. And when you stand before God, I need to be sure that I'm not going in with a guilty conscience. If I know I need to get something right with God, what should I do? Common sense says what?
Confess.
Get it right. Confess. And if I confess my sins, he is faithful and what?
To forgive.
To forgive. And what's he going to forgive? All.
All our sins.
Yeah, we don't do that too good, do we? And so that's why sometimes it's good to know the scripture, because I have to learn that if I'm not forgiven, if I'm holding on to something that I'm not willing to forgive somebody else for, scripture tells me I've got to figure out how to deal with that. I have to have God deal with that in my heart, because it shouldn't be there. Present yourselves holy and acceptable before God. That's, again, where the scripture comes to life. And we do that. He says it's reasonable. And then he tells us, to be very simple, don't be conformed to what?
This world.
This world's got a lot to offer. Right? What things does the world have to offer you?
Beauty.
Pardon?
Beauty.
Hmm? Say again?
Beauty.
Beauty. Anything wrong with beauty? No, but you know. But if you want beauty,
you have to take care of it.
You might decide, if you're a woman, you have to buy a lot of different makeup. Unless you think you're a natural beauty. But you could get so wrapped up into beauty, then you start cutting on your body. Because now you want to shape yourself to what the world says is beauty. So I'm going to add things. I'm going to take things away. I'm going to cut here, cut there, squirt in here, pump in there, do all those kind of things, because I'm worried about the world's beauty. What else does the world have to offer? Some of them say success. We're taught at a young age, you know, go on, get your education. Nothing wrong with education, is there? No, but I can keep on going and going and going and studying and studying, and then I'm studying more than I am ever in here, and I start to believe the philosophies and the teaching of man. If I'm not in the Word of God. You know, at the time of Jesus, the problem with the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, where they got to the point, they kept adding. It wasn't good enough to just know the scriptures. Now you had to walk around the block 5 times. You had to pray out loud. And the louder you prayed, the more holy you were. If you're giving an offering, make sure you have some coins in there, so when you drop it in, it makes a little noise as it goes through. Don't be conformed to this world. I don't know where you are in your life, but sometimes later in life, I think we learn that sometimes we can do with less than more. You ever got to a point in life like that?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just better to have less than it is to have more. And if you've never cleaned your house up, have you ever seen how much stuff you have?
Yeah.
And some stuff that you never use. Stuff other people have given to you, and there's a thing called dust that builds on it. And in the scripture, it tells me in regards to priority of my life, don't be conformed to the world. You want to look at Ecclesiastes. Solomon, and all the wisdom that he had, he starts to get to the point where he says, life is like vanity upon vanity. And I can just see that even in his writing. Vanity, vanity. I go, oh, here I go again. I mean, and later in life, it sometimes that's the way life is, isn't it? You know, when you were working, oh, I got to work again. Weekend's gone, and here comes Monday. Here I go again. Get up early, make the drive, do the work, and then I get my paycheck. And when my paycheck comes, it's gone. And I got to go again and work again. Is there more to life than that? Men don't find it until about 45 years of age. And after about 45 years of age, they come and they realize as they look back and they said, you know what? All of this that I was taught is vanity. I should have been home with my kids. I should have taken a little more time and relaxed and taken that vacation. I should have, I could have. You ever had those moments? I should have, I could have. Your family, oh, come and see me. Oh, well, you know, we're too busy. It's too hard for us to travel. Well, the grandkids, this is a special day. Well, I really can't, and then that day is gone. And you know what? We can even get busy about doing ministry. I did it. We had Bible conferences. Those were good things, but we had to prepare for those and get ready. And I thought it was important I'd be there and get that part of the second or third job done, is work on that. And I missed opportunity because I thought I was doing something that was good, but I was really conforming to what the job wanted, conforming to what the world wanted. Look at your life. Evaluate it even today. And are you conforming to what this world has to offer for happiness, for contentment? Are you looking to the things of God? Isn't it neat that in the aging process, many people that are close to God, they're ready to go home to be heaven. Mm-hmm. There's nothing more they want to do. There's not stuff they have to get done. There's not things they wish they'd done and have this list. They're ready for home. What holds you back from giving yourself to God? What are you holding on to that you don't want to give up? What is it that you have that you haven't surrendered to God? I love cars. And in my life, it was hard for me at a time to let the cars that God gave me to be used for Him. When my kids were growing up, if they were in my car, they don't eat in my car. I don't want to find no French fry in the floor of the car. You don't put your school books on my car. You don't sit on my car. The car was pristine. Yeah, you were proud of it. But in one day, there was a time when I was in ministry and somebody's car broke down and the family needed a car to get back home. And I don't know why, but God put it on my heart that I need to give my keys to my car so that family could get home. Even as a young man, I was blessed that I had a car once, and there was a family that needed a car. Me and my mom were talking, and I gave my car to the family. In the world's view, I'm stupid. In the flesh, I don't want to. But it's reasonable for me to do the things that God wants me to do. It's a reasonable service. What is holding you from giving your all? He wants us to be in, to be transformed from the world. And he know where it starts. It says it by the renewing of your mind. It's not always what you're doing and your things you have. It starts with your thought process. What I have, whose is it? It's God's. But that takes a thought process. Because I've been told I earned it. Did I earn it? By the grace of God, one, I had a job. By the grace of God, I had the means to be able to do what I was doing. It was all by the grace of God, not me. But I have been taught it was me. I was taught. I have the value. I'm the one that done this. I did that. I. Now I sound like the devil, don't I? I have to get in the point where my mind thinks differently. This isn't mine, it's whose? God's. That takes some working on, doesn't it? What do you have that's yours?
Only what God wants us to have.
But then it's whose? It's God's. Right? It's a different mindset, isn't it? I should care for other people in the church. Why? Because I'm so good, they need to have me as their friend. Right? I need to feel good, so guess what? You need to let me help you. Is that it? No. The mindset, I'm thinking of others because God's allowing me to do so. I can love that person because even though they may seem unlovely to the rest of the world, guess what? I can see them through who? Through God's eyes. I can look at things a little differently because I'm looking through God's eyes. I want to see this church grow and that. Why? Because it helps my ego? No, because I want to see them grow in Christ. And this community is hurting. They need a Savior. There's people that are lost. Did you know that? People are lost. Did you know there are neighbors there that don't know the love of Christ? And they're watching you. And who are you doing it for? He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, to present yourselves a living sacrifice. It's reasonable for you to transform your mind. That might be the hardest thing to do, but you got to start thinking differently. You got to stop thinking about you, and you got to think about Him. And most of the times when we're doing something now, what is our go-to? We ought to be seeing. What's the Bible say about that? If I'm not in it, then I don't know. But it gets to the point, if you're a believer, that it's reasonable for us to ask that you be in this on a daily basis. It's not a reasonable excuse to simply say, it's too heavy. My trigger finger don't work, so I can't turn the pages. My eyesight's not great, so I can't read it anymore. I can't hear. So when the volume's on the phone or my iPad, I can't hear it anymore. It's kind of like training, isn't it? I sometimes got to force myself to do the things that my body and mind doesn't want to do. It's not natural for us to desire the Word of God unless we have a relationship and we miss it. I think it's interesting, even as a believer, when you go to church on a regular Sunday, if you miss a Sunday, do you feel different the rest of the week?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like something's not right. My week's messed up. Because this isn't my life. This isn't the way it goes. There's a pattern. And you know what? It's a healthy and a good pattern, and it helps me as I'm going through.
It was like that during COVID when the church was closed.
Beautiful example.
Yeah.
Beautiful example. Yeah. And we missed it, didn't we?
Yes.
And sometimes, I don't know, but even in walking in the Christian life, doing it on your own, sometimes that's a little tough. Anybody have a bad day? Sometimes a little tough. Life is a little tough sometimes. And so it is good to sometimes say, hey, Carol, you know, what did you get out of the Word of God this week? And Carol says, oh, I haven't felt like it this week. I tried it. Well, let's pray about that, Carol. And let me share something I got this week, and maybe you can take a look and tell me what you thought about it. And then Carol, all of a sudden, she's starting to get back into it again. And then when we're talking again, we're not just talking about the weather. Oh, guess what? I was here, and this is what I found this week. Wouldn't that be cool? What do you talk about? Is God alive in your life today? How? What's he doing? How he works in your life is different than he's going to work in my life. There are certain things we might be able to share, but God's going to work. And isn't it neat to see how God's working in each other's life? Even if we struggle through the day or a moment, how'd you get through that point? Well, I had a good day this week. How? I don't know. God just gracious. I talked to someone today, and what they're going through, they said, I just got a peace. I don't know why. I can't explain it, but I have peace. Isn't that neat? That's a testimony on how God's working in someone's life, is that no matter what, it all seems to be weighing down, and I'm not sure how I would deal with it, but with them, they have peace. It's reasonable for us to do this thing. And this is what God is asking from you and from me. It's acceptable will of God. He wants you not just to love him and know of his salvation, but he wants you to thrive. He wants you to grow. He wants you to be involved. He wants that relationship with you. It's deep. And that's what he wants with you. And that's why we have the Word of God. We're going over, so I just want to give you a couple other things and we'll end here. Matthew 6, 25 and 26. It gives us strength. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what your body will be put on. It's not life more than food and clothing. Look at the birds of the air. Aren't you more valuable than them? God wants to encourage you. He loves you that much. He'll take care of your needs. He'll provide for you. And then there's that discernment. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 through 9. For the Lord gives wisdom. From the mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice. Folks, if I can tell you anything else as we study today, the Bible is your guide. The Bible is where you need to be. And Scripture and God can be more alive and more close in your life if you spend time in His Word. Scripture alone. Where do I need to be? I need to be in the Bible.